Okay. I apologize. I got one thing I've neglected to tell y'all, and it's kind of important, so I need to, it's kind of an announcement, and then I'll transition us into our message. And that is, many of you know Mr. Kiesler. He's 94, and he's been with the church since the first year of the church, so for 19 years. Some of you got an email about it. Mr. Kiesler's in the hospital. He had a stroke, and Lexington, if you've been around here for a while, it's called Lexington County Hospital, Lexington Medical Center, room 488. I would highly encourage you, if you want to see him, you need to go see him. Okay, 488. I told a lot of y'all that we were going to be gone on a 2-week vacation, me and my wife, and we did. We jumped in the truck, hooked the camper behind it, and we took off to California. So we were gone for 2 weeks. It was a crazy trip. So to California and back in 2 weeks, and just a lot of driving. I drove all but 1 hour of the way. And it was great. It was awesome. It was an incredible experience. A lot of cool stuff in this country. If you've never been outside of the state, do whatever it takes. I mean, get out there and thumb on the side of the interstate and get in a big truck or something. I mean, get out of the state, because this is an incredible country that we live in. But one of my friends here, prayed for me before we left that God would reveal stuff to me while we were away on our trip, specifically things that were hidden that would come out, that would be made known. And that sounds like pretty good prayer to pray for somebody, right? On the recipient's end of that, I'm like, there's some stuff ought not come out, you know? But for intimacy to take place, for growth to take place in me, growth to take place in our marriage, and ultimately growth to even take place in the church, because all those things matter, they build in each other, that needs to happen. So while we're on a trip, we did, Greg was joking earlier, but we had a lot of conversation together. We also listened to a lot of messages, listened to books, we listened to a lot of stuff, road noise. And so out of this, listening to this message in preparation to preach it, some stuff that was hidden did come out for me. In my life. And so if you will allow me to pray a prayer for all of us, my encouragement for you is to ask God what he wants to speak to you this morning. Because Pastor Greg was praying this morning, and he said that it is easy for us to come to church and we hear a message, and especially if it's a good one, right? We're all thinking that, dude, I wish so-and-so had been here. I wish she was here. This is so good for so-and-so. They need to hear this. And we totally miss what it is that God might have been wanting to speak to us in all of that. And so you got plenty of people, and you got the church app and the website, and there's all kinds of ways for people to hear. You can grab a free CD, whatever. Take care of all those people that wasn't here. But for today, you here, and you here for a reason. So can we just pray will you allow me to be bold enough to pray for you, and you be bold enough to pray for yourself, that if God wants to say something to you, that he'll say it this morning. You all right with that? Bow your heads with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this morning, and I do thank you for getting us here, and I do believe it was for a reason. So Lord, if there are some things hidden in our lives that you want to come out, God, not something that's got to be public and whatever, but God, just something between us and you. If there's something in our lives that has taken your place, I pray that you will point that out to us today, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we got that out of the way. We're all on the same page, leveled the playing field. God's here, and he wants to say something to us. I want to just kind of remind us of a premise that we've held through this whole series. This is number 4, the last one in the series called Soul Detox. And we learned this. This is on the screen. We learned this, that we are not a body that has been given a soul, but we are a soul that was given a body. Does that make sense? Okay, so I mean, it sounds kind of simple, but it's pretty profound. Again, that we are not a body with a soul, but we are first and foremost a soul that has been given a body. So if we were able to strip all the skin and bones and flesh and hair and everything else off of you, there'd still be a you inside, the real you. And the problem, knowing that and understanding that, helps us to see that there is a deeper issue beyond the stuff that we tend to just address. I mean, we've talked a lot about in recent years about detoxing our body. There's a lot more natural stuff being taught, and everybody's. By the way, how many people are you into oils? I mean, talking about like motor oil, been in that for a long time, but like essential oils and natural stuff and herbs and herbs. And okay, so we got a number of y'all. The rest of y'all just kind of behind the curve a little bit. But there's we do so much stuff, or we ought to do so much stuff, to get the toxins and the junk out of our bodies so that our bodies function well. And we should, because our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Bible teaches that. Our body is a temple. It's where the Holy Spirit resides. Wow. Okay, that's kind of nuts when we think about it. So we ought to take care of our temple. We ought to take care of our body and get the stuff out of that. But how about the real us, the center of us, the soul of us, and detoxing it? So we've talked about a number of the things that happen. So today we're going to talk about some things, some toxins that come in that can infiltrate our soul. And I like that word, that infiltrate, that sneaking in or whatever, because it often happens slowly, doesn't it? Things, the enemy, if you will, sneaking into a camp or kind of working in, it's just kind of wiggling his way in. And all of a sudden, next thing we know, something that might have started off as a good thing has now turned bad, and now it's starting to take our time and our attention, our money and our affections and our focus, and maybe even, we might would say, the place. We've elevated it to the place of God. Sometimes our souls can be seduced into settling for something that ought to be, for a place where God ought to be. We settle for a substitute. And I like the word counterfeit. We settle for counterfeit. So that's going to take us through the rest of this message as we learn together, as we examine together. As we were going through this, I had to ask myself some tough questions, and I'm going to be asking you to ask yourself some tough questions. I had to ask God some hard questions, and I hope that you will be so bold as to ask God some hard questions. I might even ask you to ask others some questions about you. That's going to be scary right there, because it was for me, and maybe it won't be for you, but I'm going to ask you to do that. So we're going to take a look at some things that have a tendency to slowly work themselves into our lives. Look what Ephesians chapter 20 tells us. You know this, one of the Ten Commandments, right? God gave this to Moses and to his people, the Israelites, after they came out of captivity. And he says this, I mean, this is like first and foremost, you shall have no other gods before me. God is saying, there ain't no other gods. It's me. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You're not going to make an image, an idol, out of anything. And we think the implication is of a creature, you know. Don't make we've got in the Bible, we've got the image of the golden calf that people were worshiping, and there's all kinds of other things that, you know, people would make an idol and they would worship that thing. And that sounds real silly. So it almost sounds kind of idiotic, but I want us to pause for a second and to think, is there something that may be sneaking its way into our lives? Listen, whether you believe it or not, we happen to believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says that we were created by God, that we are a created being. So we were created by a creator, and in our DNA from the factory, we were programmed to worship the creator. The creation worships the creator, right? So we were designed like that. And so when we take anything and we put it in God's place, when we take anything and elevate it to the position of now worshiping it, we're worshiping a counterfeit, not the real thing. And our souls will never be satisfied, because what's supposed to be there is God. And we've taken anything and everything, or anybody and anybody, and placed them in the place of God. And we say, God would never do that. And we would never intend to do that. We never set out to do that. But there's this slipping in. And so we'll always be empty. We'll always feel unsatisfied. And we may be living, I got this and I got that and I got him and I got her. Or I had this experience or had that experience. But I still just feel empty, you may say, and it may just be, I'm just saying, it may just be because there's whatever the who that's supposed to have top spot in our lives, God, the one true God, it doesn't have top spot. And we might say one thing, but what are our actions saying? What's our bank account saying? What are our conversations saying? So we're going to talk about some of those things. Let me give you another scripture that kind of helps to see the sneaking in thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16. God, again, is continuing to tell his people. He says, do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol of any form. So just pause for a second. We've got some things underlined. When we make an idol, when we have something that we place in God's place, we are corrupting ourselves. I mean, do you see that? I'm corrupting myself? Well, we are. We're corroding, we're corrupting, we're allowing evil or wickedness or something to come in. And again, we don't think about that we're evil or we're wicked, but if something has God's place, then we are essentially worshiping something. We're worshiping a counterfeit. We're worshiping a substitute. And our lives aren't going to be in sync or satisfied. It goes on, whether of a man or a woman. Again, we can make a form. We can make an image out of anything. Verse 17, or an animal on the ground or a bird in the sky. Verse 18, a small animal that scurries along the ground or a fish in the deepest sea. So we're not supposed to make an image out of any of these things. We're not supposed to worship any of those things. Verse 19, he ain't done yet. And when you look up into the sky and you see the sun and the moon and the stars and the forces of heaven, don't be, did you see that word? What's that word? Seduced into worshiping them. So my point is, we never set out to, I mean, it'd be kind of dumb for us to go home and we, you know, it's starting to get dark. It's starting to get dark, like almost 9 o'clock, but starting to get dark and we look out and see the stars. By the way, if you can't see the stars from where you live, you got too much light pollution. You need to go out in the woods somewhere, get away from all the light and see some incredible stuff. But even we would never go home and just look up at the stars and decide, and we're going to start worshiping them? We're going to bow down to the stars? I mean, you would say that's dumb, right? It sounds even dumb for me to say it. But the problem is we get seduced into worshiping things. And so maybe it's probably not going to be the stars for you. I'm going to move you beyond the things that we kind of hear these things that, how can anybody be enticed by whatever? You know, creatures that scurry around on the ground. Although, I'll push you, poke you just a little bit. Some of you do have this incredible love for cats, and I'm still not sure where all that comes from. I'm picking on you, but you know what? You can pick on me about all kinds of things. Are there some things that I give an inordinate amount of time to? That's my big word for the day, an inordinate amount of time to? An inordinate amount of attention to or affection to or money to? Are there some things that I talk about more than I talk about God? Are there some things that we spend more time on? Yeah, I'm just saying. So the problem is there's this seduction that happens. So that's why we're talking about the seduced soul today. I want you to be aware of it so that you'll see it happening. And again, it's easy to see in somebody else's life. It is never easy to see the seduction of the soul in the mirror, is it? It is never easy to see the seduction of the soul in the mirror. It's never easy to see an idol that we may have in the mirror. It's just not. Which is one of the reasons why we need people in our lives. Which is one of the reasons why we need church. One of the reasons we don't want to go to church. And hey, I get it. There's people there and people going to tell me about what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. I don't want to be told what I should be, shouldn't be doing. I mean, and that's fine. You don't need to be. But you may just be living an unfulfilled life. You may just be living a life worshiping a counterfeit that can never satisfy, that can never meet the needs of your heart because it wasn't designed to. Only the one true God can do that, can bring a peace into your life, a satisfaction into your life, a sense of purpose into your life that idols just can't. So there's this seduction that happens, or that can happen, and I'm telling you it is happening, probably even happening right now. I want you to be aware of it, because when we're aware, we can watch out for it. And not just in everybody else's life. Remember today, we're looking at us. There's always next week's message, you can apply to everybody else if you want to. But today, we agree that we're gonna see what God's speaking to us. Is it possible? And I don't think that I didn't think that I had any, but I had to ask somebody. Ooh, Are you willing to ask somebody? Again, so it's kind of weird to be enticed, but think about the word enticed or attracted or pulled away by. That's what seduction is. And it's not just a sexual seduction, but we are seduced by stuff. I tried to help my wife understand the concept. I can't fully explain it to you, but for guys, there are some things that kind of seduce us, and it can be a number of things that tend to seduce us. And I've tried to put something on her level. You know, when you see a commercial on TV, and it's your favorite restaurant, and they got a commercial on TV, and they're advertising their desserts. By the way, I just encourage you to try something. Go to your favorite, maybe you already get this. I've just started doing this. And the older I get, the less I seem to be able to eat, but the more I want to eat, but I just can't do it like I used to could. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so last time I went to my favorite restaurant, I ordered an appetizer. Actually, I ordered two appetizers, no entree, and I got full on those two appetizers and the bread. You got to eat a loaf of bread, and if you sit there long enough, they'll bring you another loaf of bread, and it's got to be real butter. You smear some real butter all over some bread, you can eat two loaves. I'm just saying. But anyway, order an appetizer, two loaves of bread, and just get you a dessert. And I'm walking out there and I'm stuffed. I always say I wanted to do that, but I finally did it, and it was great. Because otherwise, you eat the appetizer, and then you eat the entree, and you ain't got no room for the dessert. And I really wanted dessert. So you're watching your favorite restaurant's commercial on TV, right? And they bring out this, and she likes chocolate cake, bring out this huge, like, triple, quadruple layer chocolate cake, and the icing's just kind of smoozing all off of it, and it looks so good, right? And then they take a fork, and they kind of slice down in it, and it's kind of falling over, and they scoop it up. Are you with me? Okay. Are you being seduced by that? Man, there are other, yes. Okay, and it ain't just women. Some of the guys. So there are things that slowly seduce us. And so then all we're thinking about for the rest of the day or rest of the week, I can't wait till maybe it's Friday when I can go out and we can go to that restaurant and I can get me a piece. But it pulls you. It grabs your attention, an inordinate amount of attention. And I hope I'm not using that word wrong, but it sounds real good and it makes me look real big, so I'm just going to hang on to it. Idolatry in the Old Testament just sounds silly. But there are some things in modern day life that do grab our attention, and that if we're not careful, they seduce our soul and we begin to elevate them to the place of God. Sounds dumb, but it happens. So I wonder what might be your idol. If there's something in your life that you maybe give a little bit too much attention, time, conversation, maybe give a little bit too much money to that thing, whatever it is, what might it be? If there's something in you, and I'll use this, if there's something, I'm not saying that there is, but if there were something in your life, what might it be that you may just possibly lift up to the place of God, that you would say that you have the potential to? In America, what is it? I mean, we do tend to worship food. We tend to worship sports. We tend to worship TV. I know that we in my home, me and my wife are quite capable of sitting in front of the TV for hours. I mean, and I know that we're not worshiping the TV, and we use all kinds of, you know, some of it's justified. I mean, we need to download. We need to decompress. We need to just have some me time, and we use all kinds of words like that, right? At least we do at my house. And if that's what works for you, okay, I'm just saying, but maybe, just maybe, do we spend too much time in front of that glowing thing? I don't know. Maybe it's your pool that you're giving too much attention to. Listen, when you got stuff, the more stuff you get, I'm telling you, the more it seems that your stuff gets you, right? Ain't nobody ever bought a pool and not dumped hundreds of dollars into that thing every year, right? Ain't nobody ever bought a boat and not dumped thousands of dollars, right? It's just me. I was given a free boat that cost me $5,000. Year and a half later, it ain't running, sitting over there in the edge of the woods and is rotting. What's up with that? Anyway, okay, so whatever it is that may grab just a little bit too much of your time, attention, or conversations. Jesus said to this dude, he says, what good is it for a man? This is Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? So does your soul matter? The soul's who you are. The soul is the part of you that's going to live on forever, that was created to last forever. And we can get all the goody out of this world, and yet it's possible, Jesus is inferring, to lose our soul when we're not conscious of the things that can sneak in and take God's place, when we've got God in proper place and keep God in proper place. And you might say, well, God was in proper place at one time in my life, but he seems to kind of dropped a couple notches. Can that happen? Well, absolutely. God is still the God of the universe. He might not just be God of your universe. It is entirely possible for that to happen. Can we correct that? Absolutely. We'll talk about how to do that as we get to the end. So how do we dethrone the idols of our souls? When we begin to identify what some of those are, how do we dethrone those? And by the way, ask somebody that's close to you. You need friends. You need people at church. You need family. All those people that you've pushed away, you know, for a while, you know, or a coworker. Go ask one of them. If there was something that had potential to be an idol in my life, what would that be? That's just a good question to ask. Can you do that? If there's something in my life that has potential to take God's place or take God's attention, what might that be? If you might go at it like that. That's kind of how I asked my wife. And I was given some stuff. I might tell you about it, and I might not tell you about it. That's my deal. Remember, we're focusing on us individually today. So how do we dethrone these things after we've identified what those things are? Well, we've got to identify them. We've got to figure out where they are. We've got to ask people. And I highly encourage you to start with asking God. Ask yourself, ask God, and then ask people, what might those things be? Psalms 24, verse 3. I'm going to get you to hold that thought for a second, because I'm going to read you 1 and 2, and it's not on the screen yet. This is incredible. This is really good stuff. The Bible says this in Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Would you agree with that? It's not on the screen. This is me. Okay. The earth is the Lord's, and the Bible goes on to say, and everything in it. Would we agree with that? Okay, the earth is the Lord's and everything. Yeah, but I made this, I bought this, I built this, I've whatever. But the earth, either God's word is true or it ain't. Either God's good all the time or he's not good any of the time, right? Like we talked about earlier. Either God's word is true or it ain't. The earth is Lord's and everything in it. So it's all God's. And he goes on and say, and all who live in it. I mean, we all belong to God. You might not be one of his kids yet, but we still all belong to him. Verse 2 says, and he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Verse 3 on the screen, David is saying, and who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Basically saying, who can come into God's presence? Who can walk into God's temple and face God? Who can do that? Verse 4, he says, and he who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. My grandma was like, you know, the greatest Christian that I ever knew, much like most of your grandmas are. And I hope that when you are a grandma, that you're the greatest Christian anybody ever knew. But anyway, she would, we couldn't come to the table unless we had washed our face and washed our hands. And if we didn't do it, she would do it for us, right? She was just one of those kinds of individuals. You couldn't come to the table before you washed your face and you washed your hands. I mean, little boys always had dirty faces and dirty hands. And in the same way, King David is saying that we come into God's presence. Who can come into God's presence? Those who have pure hearts. Those who are asking God to clean them up. Those who are admitting that God is number one, even if he's not number one in their life. So ask him for forgiveness for that. And he goes on and he finishes that with, who does not lift up his soul to an idol? So we come to God. We're supposed to come to God with pure hearts and clean hands. And we come to God without having lifted up other idols, other things into God's place where he is supposed to be. So what gets or what consumes an abnormal chunk of your soul? I know there are things that pull on our time, pull on our money, and it's like, man, it's crazy. Everything is sucking off of you, right? But what seems to consume an abnormal chunk of your soul? The real you, what is it that consumes you? It may just be, that's all I'm saying, it may just be that thing could be an idol, and if we're not careful, it will slowly seduce us and we continue to elevate that thing up to God's place. So as we're thinking about our idols, what there is for you in your life, and I pray that we're all examining anything that may be going on that might have worked itself into our soul, you know, gets a little finger hold in there, gets a little niche. The Bible talks about a toe hold, you know, trying to close that door and got his little toe in there, you know, so it's not totally closed, and it just kind of works and works and works. Works on a heart set way. And it might not have started off as anything bad, but again, you take anything good and elevate it up to the place where God is supposed to be, then it is an idol. So as we're thinking about those things, I just want to say a couple of things, that it is possible to have interests. It is possible to have hobbies that are not idols, okay? It is possible for that to happen, but it's also possible to have interests and to have hobbies that become idols. So maybe today is just kind of a good check for you. It's a good chance for you to kind of identify the potential idols. And that's why I like the word in that question that you're supposed to ask other people. Is it the potential idols before they become an idol, before they seduce you. By the way, one of the things my wife identified for me is, she said, you watch, this isn't how she worded it, so she did a much better job of it, but it basically it was like, you watch too many YouTube videos about guns and cars and whatever else. Can you believe that? No. Not that I do that, but that she said that I watch too much of that. I'm like, baby, I'm just trying to decompress. I'm just kind of trying to chill out. And is it possible? I guess it's possible. I don't know. What's yours? Get back on you. What is it that's for you? Again, and we need to ask people because it's difficult to see idolatry in the mirror. And we look in the mirror and we see all the good stuff about us, right? It's just hard to see. So ask people. It's just a question. And don't ask it if you're going to get defensive. And I had to prep myself. Okay, I'm going to ask this. I don't want to. But my friend prayed that whatever's hidden would be revealed. So like, ain't nothing been revealed yet. So I'm going to dare at the end of the trip to go ahead and ask this. But I am not going to get defensive. I'm not going to rationalize. I'm not going to justify. Okay, I mean, I did some of it in joking, but you know, ask the question and don't get defensive. It's just a question. You asked it, so don't get mad when they give you an answer. You're asking for their opinion. All right, throw some things out at you that could be. Could your house be an idol? Could you spend too much time, attention, you know, affection, whatever, you know, on your home? It is possible. Could sports be? Either you're participating in or you're watching because you're older now and you ain't all of that. You know, you ain't what you used to be, but you can still watch people that are that now on TV, right? Is it great to be healthy? Can we take fitness to an extreme? I mean, some people are, I call them nuts, you know, fanatics. It's only because I'm not, so, you know, and everything's relative. But it could be. We can take it to an extreme. It could happen, and we could elevate that. How about our kids? I mean, you love your kids, right? Most days, you love your kids, right? Okay, so you do love them. Absolutely. Can we love them too much? I don't know, can you love them too much? But could we, you would never say you worship your kid, but holy crap, could we not spend, you know, too much time? Is it possible that we could be spending too much time? I ain't saying what you do. You do whatever, you know, God leads you to do. We made a decision a long time ago that when our kids, you know, got involved in sports and they wanted to do this and they wanted to do that, you know, we set some limits. We drew some lines. And you draw your own. I'm just saying that we drew some and we said, okay, it's not going to, you know, consume more than X number of nights a week. For us, it was one. We also said that it's not going to consume Sundays. And this is even before I was a preacher. We just drew some lines for us. We said what was important and we didn't want anything to get elevated, and you can be good and you can be great, but you know, here's what we're going to do. I mean, so what is it for you? It is possible to spend too much time and attention and affection with them. I mean, they're going to be the greatest ballerina ever, I understand, and you're pumping all the time and energy and money, or some beauty pageants or whatever. I don't know what it is for you. Is it possible to elevate our kid or our kid's activities? Sure, it's possible. Your online stuff, YouTube, your online gaming or whatever it is that you do, is possible. Our education, we can spend, you know, that can become the thing for us. That can become an idol for us. Social network, social media. I made a decision a long time ago for me. I'm not on Facebook. It doesn't make me any better or any worse than you. It does mean I'm less in the loop than many of you. I rely on you. There is one person I know that's got this on Facebook, and I kind of face creep through them. I get to know stuff, by the way. I know what I know about Mr. Kiesler because of Facebook. That was just, I mean, it was a lot of good that can happen. But when I found myself early on Facebook, it just consumed more of my time than I wanted it to. I mean, looking into you people's crazy lives. I mean, it's like nuts, right? Nuts, and I'm wound up in all this. And then I walk away, and I, you know, some of you can't even take a decent poop because you're just spending too much time sitting there, you know, right? Okay. I'm like, no, I want to be concentrating or relaxing when I'm supposed to be relaxing, not getting uptight about stuff. You get upset stomach while you're sitting. I guess that's a good place to do it. But okay, so it is possible to spend too much time or attention on anything. All right, maybe it's the area of your phone or your, you know, social media and all. It could be your investments. It could be food, even if it's healthy stuff. We can obsess over things, music, hobbies, the pursuit of your career, your education, or of wealth, or accumulating stuff. Man, it's good to go after stuff. It is good to go after stuff, to be a go-getter, to be a world changer. Man, God needs world changers and movers and shakers in this world. I mean, got to have it. But can any of us, is it possible that those things that the pursuit of those things could become an idol? I'm just saying. So don't be quick to dismiss these things. Ask yourself the question. That's all I'm getting you to do. I want you to ask yourself the question, so that you are in proper alignment with God, so that God has proper place in your life. If things are out of sync in our lives, it may just be we need to get recentered, that we are not focused where we're supposed to be. Our attention and our money and our time, whatever, isn't going to the top place first, and then let everything else kind of trickle down. So, three areas of your life that will help you to determine if you're idolizing something. Is look at where your time is being spent. I don't know how you do that, but just think about it. Maybe you just ask somebody, do you think I spend too much time doing whatever it is, the thing that you suspect could be an idol? Ask somebody, do you think I spend too much time doing this or too much time doing that? And don't get defensive whenever they give you an answer. The next is your money. We can find out if we are potentially idolizing something by seeing where our money's going. You know where your money's going, right? Are you looking where your money's going? You don't want to look to see where all your money's going. That's kind of my thing, and she takes care of the money, but she tells me where our money is going. And we need people to tell us where our money's going if you don't know where your money's going. Where is your money going first and foremost? These are just areas that you can look at to see, is too much of your money or your time going to these areas? And the third one is this, and this is a great one. I like this one as a test, if you will. But your conversations. What do you tend to talk about the most? We'll kind of shift it just for a second and kind of take some pressure off. You know some people that always talk about whatever it is. And it's anything but God, right? I mean, they may even be a believer, but it's like anything but God. And just so much of every conversation is about, right? Whatever it is, that person, that person's this, and this person is that. What might someone say about you? And they think, David, Tim, Larry, whatever, when your name is said, what they say that you talk about the most? And so if our conversations, and I'm not saying that everything comes out of your mouth, it's got to be a spiritual thing or got to be about God. And we need to be able to relate to people that aren't into spiritual stuff. We need to be able to connect with them in some kind of way. But what does the majority of a conversation tend to go to, tend to drift to? You get into a conversation with anybody, and 2 minutes later, we've gotten it to whatever subject it is, right? What if we made a choice to begin to, I'm going to intentionally, you know, wherever the conversation starts with him or with her or with them, kind of begin to drift it, intentionally drift it, take it, kind of make it feel natural, but I'm going to take it to some spiritual stuff. And not preaching to anybody, but just, you know, telling them, you know, giving them, you can tell them about how a scripture you was applied to your life or something that you felt like God and the Holy Spirit was leading you to do or to think about. I had several of those happen this morning out here in the Commons area. Y'all are doing this with me, telling me about God encounters you had this week. And I think that's incredible. Are we doing that with others as well? Our time and money in a conversation. Just three little tests to see if there's potential for you to be idolizing something, okay? We can even obsess over, you know, people's opinions of us. I'll get a word out in a second. I got my dad's disease. Probably means I shouldn't say this. So I'm not. I was going to tell you about what I gave to my wife as her thing that could potentially be. So you ask her. I'm not going to do that one. So pray. I mean, really, pray. As we're going through. God, is there an area of my life that I may have been seduced? Is there an area of my life that I may be being seduced? Because I can't see it in the mirror. If there's something that has a tendency, has potential to wiggle its way into my soul, something that may already be there and already have a toehold, that may be going to draw me away from you, and that I may have the potential to elevate up into your slot. Lord, will you identify that to me this morning? And that's the prayer I'm going to ask you to pray, especially at the end. So once God and others and your spouse or your mama or your coworkers helped you to identify an area of idolatry or potential idolatry, and we just don't like using that word, but something that's got God's place is an idol. Okay, we agree on that. Once you've identified something, what do? And the Bible tells us that we tear it down. Once God has identified something, you realize, oh, God, let me tell you, if it's been identified for you, and we're like, okay, that has potential to be an idol, and we do not address it, I don't know. I think it even gets worse. I think its power grows because we've said yes, and we're not going to do a dang thing about it. Guys, we got to man up. We got to woman up, or else, you know, that thing's going to take God's place. And it's like, well, is the world going to come to an end? Your world will come to an end. Sooner or later, crap's going to happen in your life. Remember, it rains on the just and the unjust. Floods can happen to anybody. Storms can happen to anybody. Strokes can happen to anybody. Alzheimer's can happen to anybody. Sooner or later, something's going to happen. And you don't want to go into that storm without God being in top place. Because now you're trying to work on this idol thing that's really trying to draw your attention and trying to seduce you into thinking that it can fix your issues and your problems, and we're not looking to God. We're trying to address that and try to seek from God at the same time. I don't know. Just telling you. Deal with stuff, because storms are going to come to the good people and to bad people. We want to go into those with God in the top slot, already ready to just lean hard on Him and into Him. Okay, tear down your idols. Remember, we're going to tear them down. We're not managing our idols. Okay, I gotcha. You know, we're going to and we're not going to tolerate them. Look what God tells Gideon. When God calls Gideon in the Old Testament to be his man, to help lead the people back, lead the people's hearts back to him, they needed to address some idols. Look what he says. This is in Judges chapter 6, verse 25. God tells Gideon to tear down your father's idols, your father's altar to Baal, the false god, and to cut down the Asherah pole beside it. They were supposed to address it by demolishing it. And I'm just saying, we cannot manage those things. We've got to tear them down. If it's an idol, we need to tear it down. Jesus is talking with this young guy who happened to have a lot of stuff, who happened to have a lot of money. And Jesus is always in conversations with people, and I love that he was always interacting with anybody and everybody that came along. And he's always wanting to point them to God and point them to a righteous life, point them to receiving from God. And so in this conversation with him, this dude was telling, you know, hey, what do I do to inherit eternal life? You know, I've done this and I've done that, and I've got these 10 commandments down, and I'm keeping the commandments, and I'm doing this and I'm doing this, he thinks, right? Verse 21, so Jesus looked at him and he loved him. I love that the Bible puts it that Jesus allowed that to be put in there for us to see. He's getting ready to tell him something really hard, and he loves him. He's not telling him this hard thing just to mess with him and just to jerk him around and just kind of knock him around. He's telling him this out of love. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. One thing you lack, he said to this dude. He said, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Why did he tell him to do that? The Bible goes on to say that he walked away with his head down. He walked away stunned at this demand by Jesus, and he went away grieving. And the why is because he had many possessions, the Bible tells us. He just wasn't really ready yet to part with those things. That those things had a grip on his heart. Does your stuff have a grip on your heart? Could you get rid of any of it or all of it right now in order to gain all of Jesus? Man, these are tough questions. I'm just asking you to ask yourself these questions. You ain't got to give me an answer, but these are some questions I think God may be asking all of us. Are we settling for a counterfeit God? Are we settling for a substitute? Because our heart and our energy and our security is in, fill in the blank, whatever it is. Has our soul been seduced? What would Jesus ask you to do today? If you came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've done this and I've done that, and I think I've got you in the right place, I think I've got, you know, the scripture and the Bible in proper place in my life, what would he ask you to give up? What would he ask you to tear down in your life? And let me tell you something. It is always easier. It's not easy. Are you paying attention to me? Listen to this. Listen to this. It's always easier for you to tear down an idol than for an idol to be ripped out of your life. And like a good parent, you got a kid and your kid's enjoying something and playing with it or whatever, a toy or gadget or whatever it is. And, you know, he's got some other kids around and they won't share and they won't give the other kids some time or some attention. And it's always about that thing. I mean, what do you do with that thing that's got their an inordinate amount of their time and their attention and their affection? I mean, we don't think that we're jerking them around and playing games with them, right? When we take it away from them, especially if it's something that we gave them and now they're not sharing. I mean, what do you think? If the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, anything you got ultimately belongs to him, he's got the right to take it away. It's always easier for you to tear it down than for God to tear it out of your hands. Is there something in your life that's more important to you than the one true God? Then God would say, tear it down. And don't delay. Don't debate. Just do it. And do it today. Now that we've done that, the next question is, so there's a, if we've done that, we've admitted it, we tear down, we get it out of our life, what's the next step? And the next step is this, that we've got to fill that space, fill that slot, fill that area of our lives now, because we've removed something that had an inordinate amount of attention from us, took too much of our conversations were about, too much of our money was potentially about this thing. So now what do we do with that area, that extra money, that extra time, that extra conversation that we've got, right? Does this make sense? You take something out of your life, you've got a void there, so what do we do? And the Bible tells us to fill it up with God. Fill it up with God. Just ask for some more of Jesus, okay? In Psalms, we're going to run through three of these real quick. In Psalms chapter 84, verse 2, listen to these words, the descriptions here about our soul. Psalm says, my soul yearns, even faints. I don't know, it sounds silly, I'm sorry, and I might be exaggerating, but you know, we're kind of swooned by, is that a modern word? What makes you swoon? My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You know when our soul will begin to yearn for Him? You know when our hearts and our souls cry out for God? It is when those storms come, when those hardships happen, when you get the news from the doctor, when you get, you know, finally get word from your kid who ain't been around in a while, when you get whatever it is, you know, in those, when it seems like the bottom's falling out, then we really start to seek God like we never have before. Psalm 107, verse 9 says, "For God satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul." What's your soul hungry for? "And He fills with good things." Man, I want that. I don't know if you want that, but I want that. And those things happen when we intentionally choose to turn our attention to, turn our affection to, turn our conversations to maybe even turn our money to, towards God. It's true that where your conversations go, where your time goes, and where your money goes, there your attention goes, right? Right? I mean, you throw your money at something, you into an investment of any kind. I mean, you want to know what's happening, what's going on, what's happening with that. You give me your wallet right now, you're going to be watching me. You give me your purse right now, you're going to be watching me for the rest of the day. And if I walk out the door, you're going to be wanting to follow me, right? So wherever we get to choose where our time and our money and our conversations go, you get to choose where your time, your money, and your conversation goes. You get to choose. There's so much that's determined for you. I get it. You got to do at least 8, 10, 12 hours a day at work or whatever. I get all that. But there's off work time, and you got conversations during work. Where's your time and your money and your conversations go? And we can choose where it goes. The last one is just Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. "As the deer," you've heard of this before, "as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Have we ever been in a position like that? When was the last time that we felt like I was thirsty for God? I was hungering for God. I needed more of Him or more of His Word in my life. It goes on, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And I think one of the things that's so incredibly sad for any of us is when we allow something to sneak its way into our life that may start off to be an interest or a hobby or even a good thing, and now it started to grow and started to build inside because we have fed it, by the way. Again, you get to choose where your time, your money, your conversations, because we have fed it. And now it's like, oh God, now that thing is controlling me, something that I chose to bring into my life, and we get to choose what's in there that God may be saying, "I need you to tear that down. I need you to make some tough decisions." I know that you've heard people making some tough decisions. Okay, the TV's consumed too much of the time and they've cut the cable. Or, and I've even had my cousin did this for a time, for a season. They just removed any and all TVs out of the house. So it wasn't even, this was before everybody had a little, you know, had a smartphone. Everybody had an iPad. So there was just like no screens in the house. You think they sat around and had a few more family conversations than they used to? And they did. They did. So what is it you may feel like you've got to do? What do you need to tear down or tear out so that God doesn't have to? Because it's always harder when He rips it from our hands. And He wouldn't do it because He's mad at you. He would do it because He loves you, and He knows that our souls are longing for something that idol does not have the potential to soothe, to satisfy, to comfort. The peace that you need isn't going to come from that idol. And it's not even going to come from the relationship. And maybe for us, it's a relationship that has become an idol. You know, I love my wife more than anybody on the face of the earth. And I told somebody earlier that after spending 2 weeks, 6,000 miles in a vehicle with the same individual constantly. Like, we didn't get no alone time at all. We're in a camper, and you know, so even when you go to the bathroom, it's just kind of wide open, okay? So there's no even close the door time. I know you got to do that at your house because the kids will come in there and bug snot out of you, right? Our kids used to, that we finally put a door, this is a long time ago. You got a minute? Oh, I don't have time for all that one. Anyway, so what, back to my wife, who I love more than anybody on the face of the earth. I already loved her a whole heap. And after 6,000 miles together, I love her even more than I did when we left. Is that not incredible? Amen. Okay, do I get any points for that at all? I'm really hoping so. My point is this. It is entirely possible for me to elevate her up to the place that is supposed to be God's, isn't it? Yeah, and it's easier too. Listen, guys, and guys, I mean, because she's got skin on her. You know, I can't touch and feel and, you know, whatever God in the same way, right? It's just, it's hard. So we need people to identify for us anything or anybody that we may have elevated to God's position, to God's status. So, if we can be honest with ourselves this morning and ask ourselves, and we're going to ask God, because you don't need to be talking to anybody right now. You ask other bodies later. And I dare you to do it this afternoon. I double dog dare you. Ask somebody this afternoon, is there something in my life that has the potential to become an idol? So, if you allow me to pray a prayer for us, and even right now, I'm asking our prayer counselors to come down because they're just going to kind of hang out down here. They're here, available, ready to pray with you, pray for you if needed. They'd really like to pray with you. And maybe you just share with them, hey, I don't know, but God might be saying that this is or that is. Sometimes it's incredibly helpful to just kind of spit it out, especially if you're not going home to somebody that you can spit it out to. They'd love to get a chance to pray with you. I'm going to pray this prayer for us, and then Tommy and Jessica are going to sing a song. This is just some reflective time because you aren't going to get quiet time any other time today, likely. So while God has created this moment, and after God has asked you these questions, and after God has revealed Himself through the Scripture to you today, will you just ask Him a couple of questions? And it's, God, is there anything in my life that may be seducing my soul? Is there anything or anyone in my life that I may be elevating to your status? Will you bow your heads with me? I'm just going to pray just this, and then I'm going to be quiet for a little bit. It's going to be awkward. Just sit in it and allow God to speak back to you. Lord, today we've heard some tough stuff. And God, while I've already kind of gone through some of this, I know you ain't done speaking to me on this same subject. It's possible for us to have dealt with idols yesterday, and there are always new ones in the wings, waiting and wanting to creep in and to take your place. So Lord, this morning, we're going to be so bold as to ask you, Lord, will you point out any idols in my life? God, is there something that I've allowed? Looking back, I can see that this thing has been trying to seduce my soul. And after God speaks to you, and after He identifies something, some things, will you then have the courage to ask God for the strength to tear it down, to cut it down? Lord, I pray that you will speak to us, that you will make it incredibly clear to us what it may be that is or has the potential to become an idol in our lives and seduce our souls. I pray that you'll speak to us incredibly clear in these next few moments. In Jesus' name.